I hope you all had a good week spiritually. I just pray that the battle has been well fought. The Lord's coming out victorious in your life because we need him all the time. I can tell by some faces, some strained faces, that you've been through a lot and you will continue to go through a lot because, as the Lord says, and I know it's easier said than done, my grace is sufficient for thee. And, you know, God gives us, through our trials and tribulations, a time of rest. But nothing like it's going to be during the tribulation. It's going to be very difficult. There are going to be churches that are going to be filled with people who have apostatized, who are not walking in the truth, and they have been filled with lies. And the best thing to do is check with the truth with the Word of God. Amen? And we have to continue to be diligent to our calling. Whether, like I told everybody in Sunday school, we're all in the same ball field. We're all in the same game. We need to be lifting each other up in prayer. Prayer is so important. Last week, we were looking at the false prophet. And, you know, we had originally also looked at the week before that with the beast. Just keep in mind, at the beginning of the tribulation period, the beast will appear amongst humanity, and then he will have all the answers. He'll be like the Jesus of our day, except he will be a false Jesus. And then, of course, we have the Son. And then we have the Father, who in that trinity of lies is Satan himself, Lucifer. And in the middle of the tribulation period, I believe that through all his glory that God gave him, people will look at him like, oh, he's covered in jewels. Like, he's, remember, his sockets were fit in jewels. He could, the music that came from him was glorious. All these things were to be a reflection to God Almighty in heaven. But he became proud one day and he said, I want to be like God. And that same curse is passed down to us today. But he will enthrone himself there in the middle of the tribulation period. Jesus says, the beast will say, ah, there's the Father. And now we're going to be looking at the false prophet. Now, of course, remember, in Revelation, you have different interpretations, but I'm trying to get as close to this in the way that it is studying God's Word. So, I'm going to give to you a quick reset of last week, okay, with the false prophet. Remember, the false prophet, as we looked at, he's religious. The beast, he is more political, okay? You have the two strongest personalities here that will rule and reign with the religion and also the political part. Satan will come as revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. He will be revealed, it's like I said last week, as somebody opening up a curtain. Has in the original language, has somebody open up a curtain, and there he is. People don't know who the Antichrist is. They never will until we are taken out of the way. The church is raptured. I'm repeating some of this because it's so important, because it's not being taught in churches today. Also, to 2 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 2, verse 9, the coming has the same root word as when Christ comes back for the second coming. The Antichrist will come back like the second coming. He'll come back and people will be wooed and wowed, okay? It'll be a total counterfeit. Remember, we're not going to be here. I'm looking at the structure in the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. The two horns represent last week of power and religion. Remember that he is slain. The Antichrist is slain. and it's a counterfeit resurrection. Also, he decided to have fire come down too. We looked at this last week from the heavens, and it's a counterfeit of the two witnesses. We talked about that. It was like with Moses and Elijah. He deceives people. First thing Jesus says in Matthew 24, let no one deceive you. There's deception everywhere. You can't get away from it. It's plaguing this country and people all around us. They're going all the wrong way. And of course, we saw too last week that the image would be worship, just like it was in Babylon there in Daniel's time. The King Nebuchadnezzar would be a type of that. Also, too, we look at the mark. Last week, it has signified as a tattoo, something stamped on you or engraved. Okay? People get all up in there. What is the mark? You know what? I'm more concerned about living a godly life than being concerned about a mark. But people, it's okay. If you're interested in that, that's fine. Because everybody gets a little, what is that? You know? So then we see that some people think it's a chip as well. Transhumanism, number 9, is be your own God, live forever. People don't want to die. This is a whole transhumanism thing. We are the guinea pigs, okay? And science and technology, and people are trying to help out mankind. Yeah, we looked at last week, general AI. And then we're looking at now. We have general AI. In 2030, we will have super AI. We'll be way beyond anything that we're doing right now that they'll be able to do. And the whole idea is going back to the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to the garden. Let's continue to taste from that tree of good and evil. And I said last week, this is paraphrasing what one man said in his book, we need to go back to the Garden of Eden and become like gods. Adam and Eve messed up. We can do something better. Okay? Mankind is in the image of God. As we know, mankind was made in the image of God. This is just some background here. I'll be done in a minute. AI is an image of man. So they're trying to make that the way it is now. Jesus is the image of the beast. So this beast that comes on the earth will be an image like Jesus was. We're all in the comfort zone, the convenience zone, and we are being controlled. Okay? And then, of course, we looked at the mark on the right hand or on the forehead. The Jews have the telephone, which is a little black box they have up here on the right hand. It has just the idea, the image of what's in my mind, that will I do with my right hand. And then, of course, the mark is, of course, is a name or a number of any of the three, so that we were looking at the verse 17 of this. It says, no one may buy nor sell except who has a mark or name of beast or number of his name. And then, of course, verse 18, we look at that word here that it has the word calculate. It's where we get our word computer, and has the idea of some people think that's where we're going with this. With this Antichrist system. And then, of course, we looked at also to be careful of the cult people out there. There are some people who believe in 2030 that Jesus is going to come back. One group's called Messiah Year 2030. I was able to watch the first three parts of it. They use a lot of what is called grammatical. That means the letters assigned to numbers. And it's like the Da Vinci Code, as we found out years ago, that it didn't amount to anything. Nothing. A lot of people are wasting their time following after this. Look, if you want to look into it, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I encourage you as the pastor, is to follow godliness and truthfulness, okay? Don't get caught up in what these, it's like 25,000 people on the internet are following this, and I'm like, okay. And they're going to say part four. Well, part four, it's been 6 months now, and they say, well, we don't have all the answers. Well, I hate to say this, but they're not going to have all the answers to it, because they never do. Last September, they said Jesus is going to come back too. And he never came back. Well, we made a mistake. I'm going to sound almost cultish, because cults do the same thing. You've got to watch out for these deceptors. And then Jesus says that no one knows when I will come back except my Father, right? No one's going to know. I don't know. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say anyway, I don't care when he comes back. I want to be ready. I want to be alert. I want to be sober. I will rejoice when he comes back, yes, and I do look forward to him coming back, and I want to be ready. Amen? I hope we all are, because it could happen today. And of course, we looked last but not least last week. Number seven is perfection. Number six is for mankind, because he cannot be perfected. And 666 could very well be Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. And I left at this, where we have, you can ask AI, that's the image of the person on your computer. And of course, you have Siri, the voice. You could have the spirit right there. So these are all ideas to come up with. But that's where I left it at this. Now let me get into the sermon here. Okay? All right? So, looking at the five viewpoints from perspective from chapter 13 that we got out of, talking about the beast and the false prophet, to chapter 14. 13 is viewed from earth, from Satan's perspective. 14 is viewed from heaven, it's God's perspective. We're going to be looking at the 144,000. Remember, this is when they were taken up into heaven. They didn't die because they had the mark and seal of God on them. Chapter 7, we looked at what these 144,000. Remember, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses, because Jehovah's Witnesses believe in a progressive revelation. They keep on changing things. Oops, I made a mistake. Aren't we thankful today God doesn't make mistakes? You know, we're here by the grace of God, right? And through his mercy. He didn't make a mistake by having us here today. He had a very good reason. And then 13 focuses on the beast. 14 focuses on the lamb. What a contrast. The idea of beast is a ferocious animal. He's angry. He's upset. Lucifer is, because he knows his time is short. And because in Matthew says, I saw him cast as a lightning from heaven. So that's his third downfall. In other words, he'll be put here in the first heaven. The third is up where Jesus is. The second is the universe. The first is here around the earth's atmosphere. And then, of course, his fourth is the pit, 1,000 years. And the fifth is what? The lake of fire. Amen? Because, I'll be glad when this is all said and done. But then 13 focuses on false teaching. 14 focuses on everlasting gospel truth. 13 focuses on the mark of the beast. 14 focuses on the mark of God. 13 focuses on the false prophet. And 14 focuses on the witness of God. So, looking at the timeline here in the book of Revelation, say, my goodness, there's so much going on here. Okay, we looked at a few weeks ago, we got halfway through the tribulation period. We're pretty much where we are now, because things are exploding here at Earth. And first of all, you know, things were going okay until Lucifer decides to sit on the throne. And he's going to think he's all this and that. And we haven't even gotten to the bowls yet. We'll get to that in the next couple weeks. But with 144,000, there's a pause here. And there is a reason is, because back in chapter 7, you had the beginning of the ministry of 144,000 Jew male virgins, were set apart and sealed by God to go out and witness to the world. And they were called to the Jewish people first, and then they'd go out to the Gentile world. Today, thank God for this, we're in the church age. If we're dispensationalists, that just means a time given. And you have people today that are in the church today. It started back at Pentecost, church age, and it ends with the rapture. Amen. So many people I've met out in the streets, and it never, unless they're grounded Christians, there are hardly anybody here who knows what the rapture is about. What is that anyway? It tells me one thing. People aren't studying the Word of God. So caught up in the things of pleasure, and let's go out and have a good time. Oh, everybody's having a good time out there. Oh, yeah, certainly. And I tell them, have a good time. Enjoy yourself, but let me give you a little salt along the way, because guess what? Life can turn on a dime, and some of us know that very well. You know, don't take things for granted. So chapter 7 starts with 144,000 in the ministry and ends in chapter 14. That's where we're at now, because they're in heaven. It's interesting. So let me start here with when somebody's saying, when is he going to start preaching from the Word? Chapter 14, verse 1 says, "And then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion." Okay? Now, some people said there's a Mount Zion in heaven, there's one here on earth. Well, of course there's one here on earth, and there's going to be one in heaven as well. Okay? So, Psalms chapter 2, verse 6 through 9 says, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion." Now, Zion is a picture of Jerusalem. Okay? And so, you want to know about hot spot, if anybody's in the Bible prophecy, just keep your eyes not on the United States, but on Israel, okay? That's been going on for years, and you probably already know that anyway. "My holy mountain, I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations of your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. And you shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall shatter them like earthenware.'" In other words, he's talking about when Jesus rules and reigns here on earth for the 1,000-year kingdom, when Christ will reign. And so Bible scholars have wondered at times, you know, when is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? Well, you know, if we give God a chance, let God do what he does best and do his work, right? The biggest problem we have today, we get in the way of his plan, but you know, it all seems like it all works together for good, doesn't it? Psalms 48, verse 2 says, "Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king." So Christ will rule and reign during the kingdom time. And it's put here that in heaven, there's a Mount Zion as well, and Christ rules and reigns there. Now, just Hold with me there for a minute, okay? So the Lamb is standing on Mount Zion with him 144,000. Now, who are they? They are the from the 12 tribes. We already looked at this in chapter 7, from the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? There will be 12,000 from each tribe, and they will be special ones. Brethren, let me encourage you today. You are special in God's sight. Don't let the devil rob your joy and your happiness today or this past week. You are special with him. Say, "Lord, I have tried everything. I am suffering. I am so tired. And I just really, sometimes I just want to go home to be with you." But God's saying, wait. I got something special for you. Because in eternity, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much. And, you know, God loves us more than we can love ourselves. You realize that? And he cares. And remember, he died for us. He died for us. And not all the world's pleasures could even resort or compare to God's love for us. He loves us regardless of what we sin. He loves us even when we're walking right with him, or we think we're walking right with him. But he loves us. And you know, this is an example. I went to ladies' Bible study to pick up my wife, Kimberly, and I walked in and I said, Kimberly, I thought I'd just let you know I'm here to pick you up. The ladies in that room, you could see Jesus in them. They had such a wonderful smile on their face. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing just a wonderful, godly, would say womanish or woman-like smile. It's beautiful because that's Christ in them and the hope of glory. And it was so encouraging. That made my day. So I go out and pass out tracts, and, you know, I'm just like, and then I see that. I'm like, this is great. This is great. And continue to pray for our evangelism here, for prayers and everything else. God is doing things, and a lot of times we don't even realize what he's doing, and that's okay because we trust him. Then we see here also in about the 144,000 that God protects them from the tribulation period. And there are 144,000 proclaimers or preachers of the gospel. You know, I pray that we'll continue to share Christ with people, you know, just with our lifestyle, our prayers, and so on and so forth, because you can't have one without the other, right? And a lot of people out there need it. They do. So they were marked because of their integrity and their faithfulness. And so then we see also here that in verse 1, the general setting here, his father's name was written on their foreheads. That is a literal interpretation there, okay? We don't know what the father, what there are many names, like I looked at last Sunday as it was closing, there are different names to the father, because last week was what, Father's Day? Really? Yeah, time's flying by. And that, didn't this week go by quick? I think it did. And, you know, there were many names for the father in the Hebrew and the Greek. I tried to pronounce some of them, and I had to just, you know, that in the Jewish language. And, you know, so there's a lot of special names that he comes across to that he loves each one of us, regardless of our sinful selves. Because I deserve hell. Right. We all do. Right. I got over that a long time ago when I realized he loved me. You know, yeah. I was thinking about Bill Gaither's song. He loved me. He loved me. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that song from Bill Gaither. But anyhow, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says, "And how he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, he also sealed us and gave us the Spirit of our hearts as a pledge." So he has pledged to us. Remember we used to sing Pledge Allegiance to the United States of America? Well, 250th anniversary is coming up. Isn't that interesting? How many people are truly thankful for God? You don't hardly hear that anymore. I don't. Okay? The red, white, and blue, great. People who died, Memorial Day, got it. You know, and then, of course, we celebrated Flag Day, and then we're going to have the 4th. So, Matt, you better do a good job. I'm going to be looking around. I'm just kidding. No, Matt always does. I trust Matt. I don't have a problem with him. Because he's walking with the Lord. He's a soldier of the Lord. And he's going to take that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, I believe. And he's just going to turn that around and go, "Wow, look at what the man had to say. I didn't know that, Lord." So we're looking for it. So we have that pledge that God has given to us. I mean, he's not going to take it away. Okay? It didn't cost us anything. It was given to us freely. So our salvation is given to us freely. Amen? Isn't it great? We don't have to go to a statue every day and pray to the statue or work our way to heaven. You know, I know some people that are like that. And they're so miserable. They're so unhappy. They have no joy in their life. And they get angry every time you talk to them. "Yeah, I'm so-and-so." You know, I'm like, "Really? Whose Jesus do you believe in?" And I leave it at that, because I don't go around judging people. I try to love them. Love them, love them. Can't go wrong. Even though I met the priest over at Evan there the other day, and you know, we had a nice conversation. But should I get testy with him or try to prove something to him? No. Because he hears the Word of God down the hallway. He hears what we do every Wednesday, and he knows. So I try to be, at first approach for evangelism, you try to be friendly with people, get along with them. Because nobody wants to get along with somebody who's just an old grunt, you know. Anyway, Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In him you also are listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view of the redemption of God's own possession to praise of his glory." You know, I would put as a sideline there, thank God we can't lose our salvation, because some days I feel like I'm not saved. Do you? Say, oh, pastor thinks he's not saved? What? Well, he's human just like everybody else. I have days when I come here where the place is dark, seats are empty, and I just sit there and I just pray. And I'm like, Lord, please help me, motivate me, help me to keep faithful to what you've called me to do. There are so many avenues. You know, you all know this, you get hit every day with the arrows that Satan tries to throw at you. And you got that armor on, and some of the armor is starting to fall off. And the sword is a little dull, and the shield's got big holes in it. And you're just thinking, man, can I do this? Yes, you can. By what? Prayer. Prayer and faith. So, verse 2, going on here. So, it says here, "And I heard a voice from heaven." So, what was that voice from heaven? "A voice of many waters, the great sea, a multitude of people." That comes from Revelation 17:15. So there will be a voice from heaven like a voice of many waters and a voice of loud thunder. And it has the idea of the voice of God, the seven thunders that we looked at here in the past. Revelation 10:3. And of course, I like this one part here, because when my phone rings like a harp, it's very soothing, a harp. You know, it's very soothing. It's not like some of these phones they have bad to the bone. You know, you hear that go off and you're like, okay, I need something soothing. So in heaven, there will be people, there will be the voice of God, and I heard harpists playing their harps, and they sang if it were a new song. So this is a new song. And it's interesting here, too, that before the throne and the four living creatures, okay, and a lot of theologians think that Lucifer was, there was a fifth one there, and he was the guardian of the throne. He directed the music in heaven and so on and so forth, But, and then there was the elders, that would be the church. I'm not going to get into all the different examples of that. And then no one could learn of that song except of 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth, that were bought with what? The blood of the Lamb. Amen? Now, there was a song that we won't understand, only the 144,000, you know, and I think, you know, Lord, that's not fair. I like to share and keep things fair with everybody, you know? And that's the way God does. He's not a respecter of person. He tries to be that. But do you realize there are 13 songs in the book of Revelation? Revelation 1, 5, and 6, John's thanksgiving to Jesus with great love that makes us kings and priests unto God. Revelation 4:8, the seraphim song magnifying the Father of transcendent beauty. Revelation 4:10-11, the 24 hours of church to the Father, and the first worthy song. And there's just a whole list here. Let me continue on here. It says the fifth one, the angelic host and seraphim, and the 24 elders sing to Jesus when the scroll is about to be opened. Revelation chapter 5. The song of all creation before the throne, the scroll is open. Revelation 5:13. And the worship from all nations result a great harvest at the end of the age. Revelation 7, 9, and 10. And then I'm going to skip a few here because when we get down to where we're at in Revelation chapter 14, there's nothing mentioned here. And then we see in Revelation chapter 15, we see the tribulation saints worship in context in the end time judgments, Revelation chapter 15. And God's righteousness is declared in the light in his end time judgments, Revelation chapter 16. So we're going to be doing a lot of singing. There's going to be more singing going on through to Revelation chapter 19. So we're going to, you know what, this is just the beginning, you know. We are going to be like it is, the elders and also those angels and those who are going to surround God's throne. We're going to be praising God, thanking God. Because I tell you what, once I'm out of this lifetime, I just pray that certain ones that I love will come to know the Lord. God's will be done because he has a plan for each one of us. Like I said for the past couple of weeks, remember, Satan has a design on you to take you out. And so don't give in to that. So we see here in the general setting, the sounds, voices, a new song. Then we see the characteristics and evidence of the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, let our hearts love one another as Christ has loved us. You know, it's nothing better than that. I haven't found anything better yet anyway. Verse 4 says, these are the ones who are not defiled with women. I'm going to stop there. You know, there's been so many misinterpretations about this. You know, I never understood that. Women are not defiled. They are a blessing, especially if you are married. Even if Paul, who was not married, there's two reasons why he didn't marry. It says that in Corinthians. But it says, number one, he would have more use in the ministry because you get tied down, like Paul said, to worldly things, like with children and so on and so forth. The idea of worldly doesn't mean something bad. It just means God said, procreate, be fruitful, be multiplied. I've met some people who are celibate, so they can work in the ministry. I've met a few missionaries like that. Okay? And then, of course, you know, there was nothing wrong here in this verse. Some people take a verse, they pull it out of context. The homosexuality movement does that. Okay? You've got to be careful, and we know where that's coming from. All right, so the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones, of course, this is talking about the 144,000, are the ones who follow the Lamb of God. Thank God for that. Wherever he goes. So throughout the ministry, until God took these 144,000 home to be with him since the beginning of tribulation, now they're in heaven. Okay? What happens? Somebody's asked me, what is going to happen to me if I'm not saved? Okay? Am I going to go through the tribulation? Yes. Well, is there time to repent? Yes, there is. But it's going to be horrible, and they're going to come after you. And people say, well, what about now? You think Christians are going to be come after in the future? Well, the way our country's going, yes, definitely. Look at New York. Look at California. I'm not talking about politics. But these ungodly people, they're full of lies and deceptions. Okay? I'm going to leave that one alone. So, these are talking about the characteristics of the 144,000. These were redeemed by the blood from amongst men, bearing the first fruits of God. They were chosen by God. Remember, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminianist. Hyper-Calvinists believe that God sent some to hell and some to heaven. No. Or if you're an Arminianist, that you have such a free will that you can lose your salvation. No. I'm right there where I'm like, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We have our own choice. Some people like to make the excuse my expression, the damnest, I'm saying that carefully, way to say, send some people to hell. Because they are damned. They are going to hell. Oh, I don't have to go out and witness. I can let my neighbor go to hell. Or, you know, the opposite is true. Either way you look at it. So, are this. They stand with Jesus on Mount Zion. They are victorious with Jesus. Are we standing with Jesus? Are we victorious with Jesus today? They are marked on our foreheads. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit today. We have a blessing there. They understand a heavenly song. We will understand when we go through trials this week. And my goodness, some of you are going through some really hot trials right now. And I'm like, oh, I would not want that on anybody. But God wants us to what? Rejoice in the Spirit. Count it all joy, chapter 1. Why? Because we're filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you can't count it as joy. Simple as that. Keeping themselves pure like they were doing. We need to keep ourselves pure with Christ from the things of the world, things of the flesh. And then we need to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Are we abiding in His presence? We have the Holy Spirit with us. He's there all the time. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So are we abiding in the Spirit? And then tell people we're purchased amongst men. We tell people we're bought with the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? Oh, that means that you were redeemed. You were bought with the blood of Christ. Well, how does that help me? Well, do you believe in a heaven or a hell? Oh, I don't know. But I said, you don't want to wait, because you're either going to go one place or the other. I would hate to see that. And then they offered the first fruits to God and the lambs, the 144,000. And they were the first Jews to be saved during the tribulation period. People, just because you don't see people getting saved doesn't mean you're not doing God's work. You are doing a special plan in God's work. And God is working on everybody. And I believe God is, you know, when we stand before that Bema seat, you did your praying, you did your witnessing. This person over here, they passed out tracts. This person lived a good testimony, and on and on and on. You did your part, because the Spirit of God, what? Leads you, right? They're trying to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't let the wind come by and blow out all that you have done. No deceit was found in their mouth. In other words, they were faithful and true. And we have a bunch of people here that are faithful and true. My pastor told me years ago, he goes, I'd rather have a small group of people that are faithful and true instead of a huge auditorium full of people that are just living any way they want. Because you never know what they're doing, right? And so we have accountability here today. We have somebody who we answer to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And please, we need to check ourselves daily about our salvation. So, I'm going to close with this. Are you standing with the Lamb today? Are you confident of victory? Are you living a victorious life today? Okay? Can you count your blessings, seeing what God has done? Some of you are just dog tired this morning. But you know what? I see past that, because I see that you've done everything you can do, and you're exhausted. You're tired. You're worn out. But you know what? You're doing what's right. You know? And then second of all, is your life marked by His name, reflecting the character and His priorities? So, do people look at you today and they say, oh, there's a Christian, or whatever? You know? It seems like everybody's just all over the place. You know? Go down downtown Oconomowoc, people are having a great time. But are they really? Okay? People go out to Summerfest in Milwaukee. Okay? It used to be back in the day, and the old-timers tell me this, you can go out there and be hardly any, it wouldn't be that many people. Now it's so crowded, you know. There's a couple who I knew that comes to church here every once in a while. They go to a different church, and he says, what we love to do, we love to go out and pass out tracts. And we love to smell the smells of hot dogs and hamburgers and, you know, all that good stuff. And people having a good time. Because here you go, here you go, here you go. Most people are like, oh yeah, okay. Well, most people don't even think about it. But once in a while, they'll put it in their pocket, they'll go home, they'll last thing at night, they'll pull out, and they'll go, oh, what's this? And it was like, oh, my goodness, yeah, I need this. I really, wow, God answered prayer. I got something today. God has answered prayer. Look at this, darling. Talk to your darling and look at that track and say, you know, this is what I've been looking for all this time. See, you never know. Will you commit to the following him wherever he leads, no matter the cost? You all have paid the price. We have a lady here. She's a missionary for 40 years. She don't go around telling people that. But she served her Lord. She loves her Lord. And she is faithful. And she is such a wonderful person. You know? And that's her heart secret. It's like, Lord, you did what you told me to do. Some of you are here today. I've never been a missionary. But you've been faithful and true to where you've been called. Not everybody's called to be a missionary overseas for 40 years. So we give thanks and praise. Just coming here is encouraging to everybody, right? Amen? So, I didn't even tell you what the title of my sermon was. Isn't it? Matt, don't do that next week. Triumphant saints. We triumphant. You are. Don't let people, let me close with this. Don't let people rob your joy. Don't let them be joy stealers. Okay? Be thankful. I was in the hospital. I closed with this in the hospital a few weeks ago. And you all know, I've been in the hospitals. Go in the waiting room. Somebody you love's there. Lady comes in. She had a disagreeable look on her face. She looks at me and goes, huh? It just walks on by, and I'm like, look up. Oh, okay. You know, she was starting something off in the wrong impression, and I just ignored it. Okay? I didn't want to come up to her and say, ma'am, you having a bad day? Well, of course I'm having a good day. What do you think I'm talking? What's wrong with you? You know, you leave people like that alone, you know, and you pray for them. I had to laugh to myself because they're probably thinking, who is this guy over here who's laughing to himself? And there's something wrong with him. But, you know, there are all kinds of people out there that need all kinds of help. Pray this week, and we're closing with this, that you'd be a blessing to somebody today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you rule and reign. We're not worthy. Thank you that we're redeemed through the blood. Thank you, Lord, that it's by grace we're saved through faith, and that you're faithful to us every day. Your mercies are never ending. Thank you for this time. And pray, if there's anybody online, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come to him today. Realize that he died for you, he loves you, he was buried for you, and he rose for you. And he's coming back for you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing to worry about. If you haven't, then as the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And either come judgment day, there's going to be a day, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to be shameful about. And Lord, pray that we pray for our loved ones and those that we know. They come to know you as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.